Wow, wasn't that amazing? Happy. Tough act to follow. I wanted to start off with saying a very, very happy. What is today? Family Day! All right, can we say that all together? On three. One, two, three. Happy Family Day! Thank you. So I'd like to know, for one of the first rules of public speaking that they teach you, they don't teach you a lot of things. There's some things they leave out, like, how to get over the nerves, right? But one thing they say is know your audience. So I'd like to do a little something here so I can figure out where all my young people are that I want to talk to today. So those of you who are 12 and under, can you raise your hand for me so I can just kind of see where you're at? Okay, I see a bunch of you back over here. I see a couple over there. Okay. Oh, right here in the front. Ooh, front row too. Good, very good. Okay. And then those of you, you can put your hands down. You're going to get tired if you keep them up all during the message, right? It's going to be a long message if you're going to be up like that. Where are my teenagers? So my 13 to 18, 19. 19 is included in teenagers, right? Okay, so I got some there. Got some there. See you way back there. Get my binoculars out. Okay, I see you back there. Very good. Okay, now that I know where you're at, I know how to get to you, talk to you. So the little young ones amongst us, right? Those that are five and under or under five, where are you guys at? Oh, I see. They're not raising their hands. Their parents are putting them up. Okay, don't drop them. I don't want to be responsible for that. Okay, are there any of them that are laying down underneath the chairs or down in the aisles? Yeah, because if they are, I'd like you to get them up on your lap or get them up on a chair, because I want to talk to them too today. Can we put up the first slide, please? So I grew up in the church. The first message, I love that message. Thank you for bringing that to us, sir. And I'm going to launch off from a couple of things that you talked about. But the experiences we all have don't make us better, like was talked about in the first message, but does make us different. And we do have different backgrounds. So, I grew up in the church. And so my earliest memories of church were from the floor up, on one sense. And, as you grow up in the church, you go through different stages. And I'll just share that one stage that I went through was, church was a place where I was told to be quiet. I was told to not be so rambunctious. If I was going to play with something, it had to be quiet toys, and it had to be, everything was quiet, 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 James. I must have been a very loud child, right? Because I was always being told to be quiet. Well, you're laying down there, and you're quiet, and, they want to settle you down, and what's the best way to quiet a child, right? Get them to go to sleep, right? So they asked me to song lead when I got older, and, every time the opening hymn gets played for a get-together for Sabbath services or the holy days, I had this yawn response because I was trained to get quiet and go to sleep. So song leading while you're yawning is not an effective thing. So I got broken of that at an early age. You young people, if you're being trained to be quiet and you start yawning because you want to take a nap, please don't take a nap during this message, because I do have some things that I want to give you. I want to talk to you specifically, and I want you to hear it real time. One thing that talked about from the beginning, my very earliest memories, was talking about what this time pictures and the change in the nature of animals. You young people, how many of you know that there will be a change in the nature of animals in the kingdom of God? Okay, most of you are raising your hands. Good. So I'm talking to the right crowd here. The message that I'm going to bring you today is entitled Animal Nature and Us. And I titled it that because I think that change in the nature of animals is something that we can also think about and think about how it applies to us. So the goal of the message is to actually get you guys to envision and to get your imaginations opening up and to think about that change that is going to be real in the animal kingdom. What those details look like, kind of imagine it, put yourself there, And then we're going to get some lessons out of that that we can take home with us today to apply in our lives every day. To get us there, I'd like us to go to a little bit of scripture to start off. If I can get the next slide. The next slide should be, Isaiah 11. And if you have a Bible and you're able to read, go ahead and get that out. And let's turn to Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. And if you can't, if you don't have it on your lap, go ahead and just look up on the screen. I've got it up there for you. And I'd like to get our minds sparking on this topic of what God has inspired for us to envision about this wonderful time that we're picturing by keeping these days of the Feast of Tabernacles. In verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 11, it says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Verse 7, "The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den." I would not recommend doing that today, young people. Don't try this out. Don't do this at home, as they used to say. Verse 9. And this was one thing that really got me because, you know, where I grew up, it was a little rough. And people would hurt each other. And you'd see these things happening. And it used to amaze me that the nature of animals was going to change. But then also the nature of people, individuals, will change. Verse 9 is talking about both the animals and the people. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." How's that going to happen? How is this great change going to come about? We know God is powerful. We know that He created all things. We know that He sustains the universe. He gives the breath of life. But how's this going to be affected? It's what was talked about in the first message, about God's power of His Holy Spirit is going to affect this change. And God's Holy Spirit is active in each and every one of us and around each and every one of us as we attend this Feast of Tabernacles. What will it be like for a toddler to play with a full-grown lion in the field, or to reach in the hole of a venomous snake and feed it by hand, not worrying about if they're going to get bit? Let's consider the incredible scale of transformation the animal kingdom will undergo during Christ's reign. And let's lean in and let our minds open up to this. If I can get the next slide, please. Excellent, thank you. This picture of a little child reading a Bible, okay, cuddled up, leaning up against this big old lion, they can just like one. The child is bite-sized, right? Like, you know, I got this little dog I walk, in my neighborhood, and when he starts talking to the bigger dogs a little bit more energetically, I said, "Look, you're snack size, buddy. Just slow it down, okay?" This child is snack size next to this lion. It reflects a visual of the change that is coming and what not hurting or destroying may look like in the kingdom of God. So I took the liberty. How many of us like the interviews, like man on the street type interviews? Have you ever seen that? Okay, some of us like it. All right, well, you're going to like it after this, because I played man on the street, and I guess my wife was woman on the street with me there helping out with this, and we were interviewing children, and I've got some videos that were recorded that I'd like you to listen in on. So if we can go ahead and go to the next. What animal or animals would you like to see in the millennium?
Bears and rabbits.
Ooh, and why?
Because they're friends, and bears eat rabbits.
Yeah, but they won't do that anymore in the kingdom, huh? Yeah.
Good job.
Big.
What animal would you like to see in the kingdom of God?
A lion.
Ooh, why?
They'd kill me now. Oh, wait.
That's true.
No, that's okay. Okay. But they won't do that then, will they?
No.
No. Would you like to ride one? Ooh, that'd be fun, yeah. Okay. Okay. What animals would you like to see in the kingdom of God?
A T-Rex and an anaconda.
Why?
Well, because an anaconda would eat animals, and it was a carnivore, and it would eat, like, probably alligators.
Ooh, okay. Very good.
What animal would you like to see in God's kingdom?
A cat.
And is there any mean animals that you'd like to see friendly in God's kingdom?
A lion.
Oh, what about a lion would you like to see? Would you like to pet a lion? Yeah, that would be wonderful, huh? Yeah. Okay.
What animal are you looking forward to seeing in the kingdom of God?
What animals?
Dinosaur?
Oh, and why? What do you want to do with a dinosaur?
You like dinosaur? You want to play with dinosaur?
Oh, yay. Okay, very good.
Thank you.
What animal would you like to interact with in the kingdom?
Monkey.
A monkey? Why?
Because monkeys are nice.
Awesome. Great answer. What animal would you like to see in the kingdom of God?
Well, if I could choose, I would like to see a colossal squid in the kingdom of God, because it's like very big and dangerous, and it's really cool, and I've never seen one before. If it was there, I would like to go on an ocean adventure with it and explore some new things and learn some new things. And yeah, that's what I'd like to do.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. What animal would you like to see in the kingdom of God?
Cheetah.
Ooh, a cheetah.
Ooh, why?
Because I want to ride on it.
You want to ride on it, okay. Fantastic. How fast do you think that cheetah will be able to go?
As fast as a race car.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to hold on? Yeah. Thank you.
What animal would you like to see in the millennium?
Filipino eagle.
Ooh, why?
Because it would monkey upon.
Wow.
And it's dangerous.
Okay. It's not going to be dangerous in the millennium, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do with it?
Go into the sky.
Awesome. Thank you. What animal are you looking forward to seeing in the kingdom of God?
A lion.
A lion. And why?
Because lions are really cool. I would love to ride one.
Well, me too. Excellent job. Thank you.
You know, I really enjoyed talking with the children about these things, their ideas of what they're looking forward to seeing in the kingdom. And, you know, it says we're supposed to accept the kingdom like a little child. So I thought it would be very instructive to us to actually hear from their own mouths what it is they're thinking about. And, you know, plus I think I'm going to do all my messages like this going forward, where I just have other people give it, right? Okay, let's see. We went through 10 interviews, and we had 9 animals that were actually talked about. We had a bear, a rabbit, a snake, a cat, a squid, a cheetah, an eagle, a monkey, some dinosaurs, and some lions. And that added up to 9 animals. And, you know, I think that was just wonderful. Now, in the remainder of this message, I want us to further envision together this very real change, which is coming to the nature of animals in the millennium. as well as, you know, ferret out, little play on words there, ferret out a few things along the way that we can apply now in our lives in anticipation of God's great coming kingdom. God says he will change the nature of the animals. But you know what? Animals aren't the only ones that have, you know, what we call animal nature. All of us here have something like an animal nature. We usually call it human nature. And it's going to have to change too. Next slide, please. Now, those that are youth instruction age, yeah, we're going to go ahead and get a little handout going here. And I'd like you to get one of these, and the ushers are going to be coming around and giving you a handout for those that are youth instruction age, handout for coloring and some color crayons to be able to do a little tactile activity while we're doing this. And, you know, it's not just for fun. You're actually helping your family take notes, right? So you got a big responsibility here to focus on. And there's plenty of extra sheets like that. If there's some other people a little older, a little younger, that would like a sheet also, but you'll have to share the color crayons with the younger ones. So if you're 11 or 12 and under and you haven't received a sheet, please raise your hand so that the ushers can get you one. Okay, we got them up front, got them in back. Well, we have some in the back and the center there, and then over in the right and the left rear. All right. So we'll look in at these three animals as we go through the rest of this message and see that they have currently, they have aspects about them. They have qualities that are not so good. They're scary, right? They're a little mean. They've got issues, as we put it in modern vernacular. These animals won't be destroyed in the kingdom or in the millennium, but their nature will be changed. And we'll get to see the only the best things in them at that time. These rough spots, these edges, these issues, like kind of like us, those are all going to be ground down and taken away and worked out. And it's only going to be the best things of those that are left at that time. So we're going to go ahead and jump in and talk about the first one, the lion. Okay. Slide 6 or the next slide, please. Excellent. You know, you see this picture and it kind of looks like he's looking at you like, you know, your snack size, right? Scary. You wouldn't want to be on the other side of that stair. Well, we think of lions as proud. You can see it in the way they walk. Nobody's going to tell a lion what to do. I mean, if you're a lion tamer and you've got the different equipment that you got and they've got them used to it, maybe. But if you get out in the wild, that lion's going to do what the lion wants to do. Lions are at the top of their food chain, and a group of lions is even called a pride. The Apostle Peter describes Satan, you know, the great destroyer, our enemy, is one who walks about like a roaring lion. You probably heard all about Satan on the Day of Atonement. He didn't want God to tell him what to do. He decided he was too important, and he had too much pride. And it hurts to be told, you know, you're wrong, even when you're old, right? It's not just for young people. Us old folks don't like to be told that either. It doesn't feel good when your parents correct you, your pastor corrects you, or anybody that's in authority corrects you. Or when a grown-up, you know, if you're a young person and tell them not to run around in the hallway or walkways, you know, it's not a happy thing. You know, it's like what was mentioned in the first message, you know, we're not as more important than anybody else. I'm not important or more important than anybody else. But God wants us to focus our minds and lean into his ways and do important things. And he can only use you if you are someone who can listen and be taught and corrected. And this is something to really think about. When we have pride like a lion, it's really hard to be taught and corrected. So don't be a prideful lion. Lions may be prideful, but on the other hand, they are also strong and powerful. In the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ himself is called the Lion of Judah. And there are many things God will ask you to do in your life, young people, that you won't be strong enough to do. But if you ask God for help, He will give you His own strength to be able to do those things. So instead of being a prideful lion, depend on God. Pray for God to guide you and provide you His strength. And so our takeaway point, and it's on your handout, young people, don't be a prideful lion. Be strong like a lion by relying on God. The second animal that we'll talk about, if we get the next slide up, about the wolf. Excellent. This one's even scarier to me, those teeth. Wolves can be ravenous. That is, very, very hungry. Some predators will just catch one animal and eat it. A wolf, on the other hand, if it gets into a pen of sheep, it may go through and kill them all, right? One after another, planning to eat them all later. People can be like that too, always wanting more, never satisfied. Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul both warned that there would be people in the church who would act like hungry wolves, who are just out to get things for themselves, who would even be willing to teach lies about God's way in order to get what they want from others. We don't want to grow up to be one of those. You don't want to be somebody who's always trying to get more toys, right? Or to have the first turn at things, or get the biggest piece of dessert. If you learn to first think about what you can give to others instead of what you want to get for yourself, God will supply what you need. And you will actually be much happier. You won't be worrying about what you need to do to get what it is that you need. So don't be a hungry wolf. Now, in your life, you will be like a hungry wolf, right? But instead of hungering for things for yourself, you can choose to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You can desire God's truth. You can desire to do good things. Have you ever listened to a sermon, and it might be this one that I'm talking about here, and thought, that was boring? I'm looking for real reactions here. Okay. You know, I don't even know what he was talking about. But then you overheard an adult later say something like, wow, that sermon was amazing. That was exactly what I needed to come to the feast to hear. Well, how does that happen? They're hearing things that you're not hearing. Yes, in a sense, this is the truth of that. There's food and drink in these sermons for those who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. God may reveal it to you slowly as you grow up. And there are many things He will only begin to show you, you know, after you're baptized and God has put His own Spirit inside you. But believe me, it's worth it to seek this out. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, young people. It is a good thing. And, you know, when there's something that maybe doesn't make sense to you that's said in a sermon or a sermonette, you know, remember it and ask your parents and or, you know, your pastor or an elder in your church after the services or maybe on the car ride home and ask them to explain it to you. I mean, this is really good to do because sometimes there's things that I even hear that I say, well, I didn't catch that quite right, or maybe I didn't hear it right, or maybe I didn't take the verse down right. And my wife and I talk about things afterwards, and it really does help us to get our arms around God's ways. So the second point, the takeaway, is don't be a hungry wolf, but be hungry as a wolf to do what's right. The third animal that we'll focus on in the next slide is a viper. That's a kind of snake, right? A viper is a type of snake. Snakes are scary, right? But in a different way than lions or wolves. They can't run fast and chase you down. I guess there are some little sidewinders that can move pretty quick, but not usually. Instead, they hide and they sneak up on their prey and they catch them by surprise. We think of them as deceptive, lying, and sneaky. Satan spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden as a serpent, and he tricked her into disobeying God. You know, you might be tempted to act good while people are watching, but then when you think no one's looking, you try to do things, you know, that you really want to do when they're not keeping an eye on you. You know, there were a group of leaders in Jesus' day called the Pharisees who acted very pure and good out in front of everyone, but they were just pretending in order to impress people. We don't want to do that. You know, behind people's back, they would make secret plans to get what they wanted. And at least three different times, Jesus Christ called these people brood of vipers. He called them snakes. God wants his people to be sincere. You can trust them. If you're told in the open you're not allowed to do something, don't try and find another way to do it in secret. You know, in other words, don't be a sneaky snake. Say that five times fast, but after church. What's good about snakes? Anybody think of anything good about snakes? Some people like snakes, right? Oh, there's somebody back there. I can't ask you what you think is good about it. I'm going to tell you what I think a little bit, and then we can talk afterwards about what you think about it. But what's good about snake? Is there anything that we can learn from snakes? In Matthew 10, verse 16, that'll be the other scripture I ask you to take a look at, and I don't think I made a slide for it. So if you have a Bible, this is the one you can open up and read. Matthew 10, verse 16. It says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." You know, serpent is, you know, just a fancy word for a snake. Snakes know their environment. They know the lay of the land and how to navigate it. You also need wisdom in this world as you're growing up and you're moving around in it. But, you know, there's only one true wisdom that will get you true success, and that's wisdom from God. There is a wisdom of this world. There's a wisdom of the devil. The wisdom that I'm talking about that you need to seek and look to put in your life is the wisdom of God, and that is only found in God's word. That wisdom will help you know how to treat others and to work with different kinds of people. And I'll quote you a Proverbs. Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold?" You can believe that, young people. The greatest inheritance on the face of the planet than you can receive is wisdom from God, a calling from God to walk in his ways and to be part of his great kingdom to come, where his spirit and his power will change the nature of animals and everything else. Get wisdom from the Bible and from wise teachers, like your parents, your pastor, your elders. And you will have something far more valuable than the feast money that you've been looking forward to spending all year. So be wise as a serpent. So our takeaway from our third animal is don't be a sneaky snake, but be wise as a serpent in God's wisdom. Now as we wind down towards a conclusion, when God changes the nature of animals, it will alter the ecosystems of the earth in a monumental way. But you know what? God's change of the animals, he could just do that with a snap of his finger. That's trivially, easy for me to say. It's just easy for God. I'm going to get rid of the trivially. It's in my notes. You can read it later. He can say the word and the whole world can function differently. It's in his power to do that. People, on the other hand, are a different story. That will not happen instantly. You know, in our lifetimes, it takes a lifetime to change, to put on Christ, to get his nature built into us. It will take time and effort to change people's nature. That's because God has a different purpose for us. He is patiently working with us to change us from the inside out, to ultimately be part of the God family. For you and me in the church, we don't have to wait for that change. That change is happening in our lives right now. not in the future. And we have to choose that change every day. It's not just going to happen, okay? These points I'm giving you today, if you just take that piece of paper, forget about the points, throw it in the garbage, don't act on it, don't act on God's word, it's not going to do anything for you. You have to apply it. You have to remember it. You have to take it in and do something with it. Animal nature will change in the kingdom. If I can get my last slide up there. We'll start with the same information that we started with, but then the pictures all side by side there. You know, let's keep that in mind also, that God will help us change our nature too now if we ask him, and then we do our part to follow how he leads us. So remember, be strong like a lion by relying on God. Be hungry as a wolf to do what's right, and be wise as a serpent in God's wisdom. And now, you know, since I didn't have enough of my sermon work done for me, I've got one more thing that I had somebody else do for me. We have a special treat to end the message today. We'll play a short video, and I hope you get something out of this. And again, lean in and think about what you see, and then envision how that's just going to explode out and increase into so many more wonderful interactions in the animal kingdom. And this video is a heartwarming video from the Kinder World website, and it's a heartwarming animal friendships video. And with that, I will bid you a very happy Feast of Tabernacles overall, and a wonderful rest of your family day.